Stay tuned for Grace Matters, brought to you by First Presbyterian Church at the corner of Ocean and Monroe Streets in Jacksonville.
Pastor Scott Lucky of First Presbyterian Church in Jacksonville, Florida, has a message from God's Word that will encourage and inspire you today. And now, here's Pastor Scott.
The reading from God's Word, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 11. Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For years now, I've been receiving emails. I don't think I'm the only one. They've been coming from Nigeria. And a few years ago, they were from some prince. And now they're just from government officials. But not just Nigeria. They're coming from other parts of the globe. They're purported to be from government workers who are trying to find a reputable person and a reputable foreign company in which they can deposit their $50 million. And all they need from you and me is our bank account number and our social security number and all that good information. Well, of course, those emails are a scam. And what these folks are trying to do is work off people's greed. And it surprised me to learn that there are people who actually give out their social security numbers and their bank information in the hope that they might receive some of those millions of dollars. I was reminded of an old saying I learned as a youngster. If something is too good to be true, it probably is, right? There are many things in life that sound too good to be true, and many times they end up being false. But in our New Testament reading, there's some great news that not only sounds good, but it is absolutely true. It's the best news you'll ever hear. God has done something so incredible that from a human point of view, it hardly seems true at all. It sounds ridiculous. It makes no sense. And what God did was lay all of your sins and mine upon his Son, who hung upon Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago. God laid our sins upon Jesus. And then in a marvelous exchange, our sins go to Christ on the cross. And his righteousness comes to us. Let me say that again. Our sins for his righteousness. Does that sound too good to be true? It sure sounds good, and it sure is true. Stay with me this morning. Martin Luther, long ago, the great reformer, put it this way. He encouraged Christians to pray this prayer. He said, "Thou hast taken upon thyself, Lord, what is mine, and hast given to me what is thine. Thou hast taken upon thyself what thou wast not, and has given to me what I was not. Isn't that something? The Lord Jesus took what is ours, and he gave us what is his. That's the greatest deal you'll ever find. And it's all free, but it costs somebody a great, great price. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, Paul the Apostle says, God made him who had no sin, that's Jesus, to be sin for us, so that in him, Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. I once heard a well-known Bible commentator say that verse 21 of chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians is the most profound sentence in the entire Bible. Think about what it's saying. But before Paul sounds that glorious note in verse 21, five times he uses the word reconciliation in the preceding verses. What is reconciliation? It's the restoration between persons who have been separated, who've been estranged from one another. In our case, we've been separated or estranged from God because of our sin. By nature, we're separated from God. There's a prevailing belief in the world today that people are basically good. But that's a lie. The Bible says we're not intrinsically and basically good. We're basically bad. We're very bad. We are full of sin. People are not good by nature. We have a problem that's part of our DNA. It's in our bloodstream. The Puritans had a saying long ago, in Adam's fall, we sinned all. When Adam and Eve were placed in that Garden of Eden long, long ago, Adam was the federal head of the human race. He represented all of us. And so when he fell into sin, we fell with him. And as a result, all human beings are sinners by nature and by choice. You say, where does the Bible teach that? All over the place. In the Psalms, Psalm 51 verse 5 and Psalm 58 verse 3, we are told that even in our mama's womb, even in our mother's belly, we are sin. We were conceived in sin. We are sinful even in our mother's wombs. Jeremiah the prophet said in chapter 17 verse 9 that the human heart is desperately wicked. By nature, our hearts are wicked and impure. In Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. You and me, white, black, Republican, Democrat, American, Chinese, it doesn't matter. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then Ephesians 2:1-3 is the clincher for me. It says that we are by nature objects of God's wrath. By our very nature, because we are sin fallen and we are dead in trespasses and sin. Even though each one of us has been created in the image of God, every human being bears that image, whether Christian or Jew, Muslim, atheist, devil worshiper, it does not matter. We all, by virtue of being human beings, are image bearers. Ah, but what happened to that image? Sin has messed it up real bad. That image that God has planted and placed within each one of us has been defaced and marred and disfigured by sin. And so we are in need of reconciliation to God, who is holy and without sin and who is perfect and unblemished. And we who are blemished and full of sin and desperately wicked, we need to be brought together. We who have been separated and estranged need to be reconciled. And here is the astounding thing. God has done something to reconcile us. He has bridged the gap. He did it, not us. Verse 21 of our scripture tells us that God made Jesus to be sin for us. God did that because we never could. Somebody has described the Bible in 9 words. I like this definition. You want to define the Bible or sum it all up in 9 words? Here they are. God formed us. Sin deformed us. Christ transformed us. There it is. God formed us. Sin deformed us. Christ transformed us. And notice, God did it according to our scripture. There's so many religions in the world that attempt to get to God. People try to get to God on their own terms. But Christianity is unique in that God did it for us on His terms. He became one of us in the person of His Son, Jesus. He came down here in the fullness of time, and He voluntarily laid down His life and allowed sinful men to nail Him to a cross. And on that cross, your sins and mine were placed. Stay with me. God did that. We in the Reformed tradition emphasize that all three persons of the Godhead, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, had something to do with our salvation, with our redemption. God the Father is the originator. God the Son is the executor. And God the Spirit is the applier. Or another way of saying that is God planned it, Jesus accomplished it, and the Spirit of God applies the saving work of Christ to sinners like us. Now our text tells us that God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us. Notice Jesus had no sin. He's the only human being who ever lived and ever will live who is spotless and pure and perfect, never had a sinful thought, never did a sinful deed, never failed to do something that He should have done. He was perfect, He was spotless, He was sinless, fully God and fully man, our Lord Jesus. And He who had no sin, notice the language, was made sin for us. My brother and sister, that means all of our sins, every one of them, were laid upon Him. As Ken so powerfully read from Isaiah 53, verse 6, notice the language, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. God the Father laid upon God the Son all of our iniquities. As Jesus is suspended between heaven and earth, held to the cross by the nails, your sins and mine are upon His shoulders, weighing Him down. The sins of the world are being borne by Christ upon Calvary's cross. That is an amazing and profound idea. And it is true. It is the best deal you will ever receive. For at the cross, a great exchange occurred. Your sins went to the cross, and the righteousness of Jesus from the cross has come to you and me when we trust in Christ as our Lord and Savior. Now, I've been fascinated for a long, long time by Leviticus 16, and from time to time you'll hear me reference it. In Leviticus 16, we read about a scapegoat. And if I felt like picking on somebody, which I won't do today, I'd call a scapegoat forward. And long ago, God's people under the old covenant, once a year, would bring two goats. And one of the goats would be brought, and in the case of Aaron, as we read in Leviticus 16, let me read to you. When Aaron has finished, Aaron was the brother of Moses, the high priest. When Aaron has finished making atonement for the most holy place, the tent of meeting and the altar, he shall bring forward the live goat. He is to lay both hands on the goat's head and confess over it all the wickedness and rebellion of the Israelites, all their sins, and put them on the goat's head. He shall send the goat away into the desert in the care of a man appointed for the task. The goat will carry on itself all their sins to a solitary place, and the man shall release it in the desert. What does that goat portray? Who is it a picture of? Christ. You see, all of our sins were laid not upon a goat, but upon the Lamb of God. All of our sins were placed on Him, on His shoulders, on His back. He is bearing our sins and the wrath of God Almighty. Jesus dies as our substitute. Our sins were transferred to Him. He was made sin for us. But that's not all. The Apostle Paul says, so that in him we, believers in Jesus, might become the righteousness of God. Don't miss that, my friend. That is huge. We have no righteousness. I have none. You have none. In and of ourselves, all our righteous deeds, Isaiah said, are like filthy rags in God's sight. We have no righteousness. He has it all. And at the cross, the great exchange occurs. Our sins to him, his righteousness to us. That is a huge event from a huge and totally awesome God. I read this past week a convicting quotation from Joseph Stoll. Some of you know of Joseph Stoll's ministry. He said, we need to rediscover the greatness of God. And he says, and I quote, our evangelical culture tends to take the awesome reality of a transcendent God who's worthy to be feared, and we downsize him so he can fit into our buddy system. If God were to show up visibly, many of us think we'd run up to him and give him a high five. And Joe Stoll says, it's time to supersize God. It's time to see God for who he really is, as awesome, as holy, as pure, as perfect, as almighty, as loving, as a great and awesome God who's greater than great, who has done some incredibly amazing things for you and me. And it all centered at Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago in history. In his love and his mercy, the Lord Jesus condescended and descended to us. He entered human history, clothing himself in flesh and blood, and allowed himself to die a horrifying, agonizing death upon a cross for sinners such as us. And so what should we do about this glorious news? What should we do about it? First, we should heed our exhortation in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul says, be reconciled to God. It is absolutely essential that people be reconciled to God. If you have never seen yourself as the person the Bible says you are apart from God's grace, then hear the bad news before the good news. The bad news is we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all are sinners by nature. It doesn't matter if you've joined this church or any other church, whether you've been baptized, whether you give money to charity, whether you sing in a choir or preach from a pulpit. It does not matter if you have not trusted in Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You, me, we are still dead in our sins. But when we are saved by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, the great exchange takes place. Your sins to the cross, and Calvary's cross happened 2,000 years ago, but the blood of Jesus is still powerful to save, and his righteousness comes to you and me, and we are clothed in the robe of righteousness. Only God can do that. And at the cross, God did that. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him, Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. I'm so glad that as God looks upon Dana and I see a beautiful lady here in front of me, and she's beautiful and in spirit and beautiful, just shines for the Lord. But as I look upon Dana, I only see her outwardly. I see the good fruit she bears. But God, her Father, looks upon her and he sees the righteousness of his Son, Jesus. He does not see sinful Dana. He sees the righteousness and purity of his only begotten Son. And that is what happens when we trust in Christ alone. Our sins for his righteousness. My friend, be reconciled to God. If you have never trusted in Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, this is not a Presbyterian doctrine or a Baptist doctrine or a Methodist doctrine. It is a Bible doctrine. For Jesus says in John chapter 3, you must be born again. Presbyterians don't often hear that. We often don't like it. But what we're saying is, Jesus, we don't like what you're saying, but Jesus, our Lord and Savior himself, says we must be born again. And I praise God that he has made that possible for sinners and scoundrels such as me. Never mind you. I'm picking on me now. He died for me, a sinful scoundrel who was a churchgoer for the first 24 years of his life, who was baptized at Magnolia Presbyterian Church as an infant in Seattle, Washington. Ah, but thank God for praying parents and for a praying grandmother especially. And I thank God for his saving grace at the age of 24 when I knelt on my knees in that studio apartment in Seattle, Washington, convicted of my sin, having heard a salvation message at First Presbyterian Church of Seattle, Washington. Thank God for Reverend Murray Marshall. And I remember kneeling on that floor and confessing that I was a sinner bound for hell. And I asked Christ to come into my life and forgive my sins, and I got up off my knees, a new creation. I didn't know it at the time, but I now know that at that moment, my sins went to the cross, and his righteousness came to me. I was born from above. I was born again. And I thank God for it. First of all, the Bible says in our text today, be reconciled to God. Secondly, be a person of reconciliation. Paul the Apostle says that to us has been committed the ministry of reconciliation. Christians, we are to be reconcilers and bridge builders on a personal level. We need to be building bridges here in Jacksonville. We need to be busy reconciling people. It's God who does that, but we need to share the good and glorious news of what God can do and what God has done. We are called to be peacemakers, bridge builders, reconcilers between the races, between the denominations, between sports teams, I don't know. But we are called to be reconcilers. Can you imagine, and I pick on the Gators and the Seminoles, but can you imagine, and I'm sure it happens, a divided household where one spouse is a Gator and another Seminole, or maybe one is an Aggie and another an Alabama Crimson, and they come together and are married, and it happens. It's greater things than this have happened. And it happened at the cross where Jesus died for sinners. And whoever you are, whatever you are, whatever you've done, there is no sin so great that God can't deal with it. And he has dealt with our sins at Calvary 2,000 years ago. So be reconciled to God. And once you've been reconciled to God, live as a reconciler. Be about the business of reconciliation, sharing the good news of how God has done it on our behalf, and building bridges with others. The truth is, many of us as Christians tend to hang out with other Christians. We hang out with people like us. I believe God is calling us to get out of our comfort zones and get into to other groups and start befriending people who don't maybe look like us and act like us and talk like us. And be that reconciler, be that bridge builder, be that ambassador for Christ. And so be a reconciler. And third, when you realize what God has done for you, for us in Jesus Christ, when we realize the greatest deal ever made, and it's entirely free, let us bow before God in unceasing adoration and thanksgiving. Yes, there are too many things in life that are too good to be true. Well, what I'm sharing with you this morning is true, and it sure is good. When it comes to what God has done for sinful human beings, what he has done is both true and good. And so believe it, receive it, and turn from your sin to the Lord God who loves you so much that he sent his one and only Son into this sin-fallen world to die, to bleed, to suffer upon a cross, that all who believe in him, they might not perish or should not perish, but have, possess everlasting, eternal life. One more time, the best news you will hear today and you will ever hear: God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him, Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. Are you wearing your robe of righteousness? I can't see it. Only God can. I hope and pray every person within the sound of my voice has been reconciled to God. But if you have not, there's some good news left. Today's the day of salvation. Yesterday's gone. You know, in the Bible, there are only 2 days mentioned: today and the day of the Lord to come. Today's the day. Be reconciled to God. Whether you're young or old or somewhere in between, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, every one of them. Turn from your sins and trust in him, and watch what God will do in your life. As to you and me, as to us, has been committed the ministry of reconciliation. God bless you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and those who are about to become brothers and sisters in Christ. He is still saving. He's still loving. He is still forgiving sins. Would you thank him for it? And would you say, amen? Let us pray to the Lord. We thank you, our God. In your great, great love and mercy, you sent Jesus, your only Son, to die a horrible death on the cross, and to die that death with a purpose, that he might save sinners. Thank you for salvation there at the cross. And thank you, God, for the gracious offer. And thank you, Father, that as your Spirit is moving upon people's hearts today, drawing them unto Jesus, we thank you, God, it is not us in and of ourselves, but it is wholly of your grace. And so, God, may you draw people to yourself today. Draw people to the cross, to Christ, perhaps for the first time this morning. Perhaps some of us need to return to the cross and look upward and rededicate and recommit our lives to our glorious Savior. We thank you for this sacred time and this sacred place, and for what you've accomplished through Jesus Christ on our behalf, even as we say, amen.
We trust you enjoyed today's message by Pastor Scott Luckey. For additional messages and resources, you may visit the website at www.fpcjacks.org. First Presbyterian Church is a Christ-centered, Bible-believing, mission-minded church in the heart of downtown Jacksonville, Florida, located at 118 East Monroe Street. You're welcome to join us for services on Sundays at 10:30 a.m.
You have been listening to Grace Matters, brought to you by First Presbyterian Church at the corner of Ocean and Monroe Streets in Jacksonville.